I'm going to pray again. Would you bow with me, please? Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come together and lift your name on high. Lord, we are wretched sinners apart from your saving grace, and I say hallelujah. We don't deserve any of it. And yet you choose to love us in spite of us. And Lord, I pray now that your word would go forth in such power through the working of the Spirit of God, that there would be no one here to leave this sanctuary that had not been touched by your grace. I pray for abundant grace upon this church in a mighty way, a way that only you and you alone can provide. Do so, God. I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Oh. Sorry about this. I would like to say, though, I didn't mean to get this emotional, but Mark Anderson has been a godly man in my life for a long, long time. I love their family. I'm not even going to look over your way. He's been a comrade in Christ for years, and I am a better man and a better pastor as a result of my friendship with a brother in Christ. Some of you are just new here. Mark and I have been ministering for a long time. Mark's our associate pastor, and his family are moving on. But we do go way back, and we've been through the very highs in life with Christ and the very lows in life together in Christ. And through the valleys, I would believe, Mark, we've learned so much more, haven't we? So, again, I want to thank God. Thank you, Mark Anderson. Oh, gosh, what a wuss I am today. Jeez. All right. Here we go. And this is good because the blessing is it's going to be a short sermon. And it's a four-pointer. We'll probably do two. We'll see if we get through one. The sermon title is The Gospel and Biblical Unity. And is the gospel important to you? I'm sure I'd get the affirmative yes nods, Is biblical unity a priority in your life? Maybe, yeah. But do you understand the crucial dynamic between the gospel and biblical unity? We are called by God to be a unified people of God, all to the glory of God. But do you and do I fully grasp and comprehend the significance of gospel-driven unity? Do we truly grasp the absolute critical, and I would say the absolute critical necessity of being a biblical, biblically unified people of God? Do you and I truly believe that we belong together and we need one another? Great questions. Again, I'm sure most of us would nod our heads yes. And yet, as I studied the scripture this past week, I have become overwhelmed by the necessity, the critical necessity, the significance, the importance of understanding and grasping what is this gospel-driven unity. What does it look like? Why it is so incredibly invaluable for all of us as a church of Jesus Christ. So what does gospel-driven biblical unity look like? I would tell you also that gospel-driven unity or biblical unity is the only true unity. It's the only lasting unity. It's the only eternal unity that you'll find on the planet here and in heaven. And so we are called in the scriptures to understand this. And there are types, all types of reasons why people would gather together. People gather together for all sorts of causes and reasons and purposes. We come together for political reasons and social reasons and ethnic reasons. Every year within our biological family unit, we gather together for certain functions and certain events. We get together for causes, cancer walks and cystic fibrosis walks around Lake Calhoun. I know that people will gather for almost any reason. We know that people gather together. I was there yesterday for a pancake breakfast. Boy Scouts. We have the Boy Scouts. We have the Girl Scouts. We have fraternities and sororities and clubs and gangs and teams and companies all uniting and coming together for a variety of reasons and purposes. I have even seen enemies unite for a common purpose. But the big question this morning is why we as the church should gather together. What makes our unified purpose as a body of Christ so absolutely necessary? Why is gospel-driven biblical unity the only true and everlasting unity? What does gospel-driven unity really look like? And I hope this resonates with each of us this morning because it really struck a chord with me this week. I mean, the verses are overwhelming, just overwhelming. And it's a study that I think a lot of us miss because I think it's something that you and I sometimes take for granted. We do. And if I was to ask you, all of us want unity in some way, shape, or form. We do. We want a family that is unified. We want teams that are unified. We whatever we are part of, we come together for a reason. And yet, what is the reason that we come together for? As one would study the Bible, it doesn't take too long to realize that the priority that God puts on this unified church, it's amazing. Verse after verse, you'll find these types of verses. Gathered together, pertaining to the church. Come together, pertaining to the church. Meet together, knit together, strive together, built and held together, again, pertaining to the church. Join together, labor together, suffer together, and rejoice together, all pertaining to the church. These are verses found time and time and time and time again. And again, when I see that often in the scriptures, I guess I'm told to pay attention. Why is it so critical? We see again in the scriptures terms like they were in one accord. They were of one mind. They were of one heart and one soul. Again, guess what? All pertaining to what? The church. There are terms found in scripture again. It's called what? We're called the what? The body of Christ. It said we are members of one another. It says we are the family of God. We're called brothers and sisters in the Lord. All found in the scriptures. And if you want to just do one study alone, look up all the one another's. Just take time to look up every one another in the Bible, and you'll be amazed. Again, pertaining to the church. So as I see that, and I understand that, yeah, I see all that. Why then do we seem to find so many professing Christians that have very little to do with the church? Right? Truly. And we have a world out there today that seems to care very little about the church. And one reason I believe that to be true is because we within the church seem to care very little about the church. And what we have here really today, I would tell you, is a key ingredient of what it means to be the church. This is a critical piece of our DNA as a body of Christ, understanding this gospel-driven unity. So if you grab your Bibles, please, and be ready to verse after verse here. There's a variety of text. I'm not going to ask you to necessarily turn to everyone. But I want you to see this so that you know that, oh, geez, Pastor Gary's just talking off the cuff here. He's just making this stuff up. But I wanted you to see some things here in the text. And you can listen along on these. I have several here, and I'll be explaining some of these. But eventually, I'll let you get into some of these truths with me, some of these scripture quotes, these verses. They're wonderful. But again, the first point in your worship folder, those that are taking notes this morning, our unity is encouraged and commanded. Our unity is encouraged and commanded. Let me just give you a few of these here. Don't panic here. If you don't get all these, it's okay. Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. Wow. 1 Corinthians 1:9-10 says this: God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. That you all agree. No divisions among you. That you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. In other words, we are to have that same focus of mind on what's important. Those key essentials of our faith we should be agreeing on. There should be no dissension. There should be no division. There should be no divisive attitudes when it comes to these key essentials of the faith. We should all be on the same theological page. But look at that. There should be no divisions among you. Every church that falters, guess what the key problem is? Division. Issues. Problems. Disagreements. Selfishness. I could go on and on. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there may be no division again in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. I like that. I want that. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, which means don't be arrogant. Don't be full of yourself. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own estimation or never be wise in your own sight. Boy, we got issues there, don't we? All my fingers are pointing at me. Romans 15:5 says this: May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just that one sentence alone, this is why God wrote the scriptures. I mean, he just packs it in here. He just packs it in here. The God of endurance and encouragement grant to you that you live in harmony, there's the first one. With one another, there's the second one. In accord, there's the third one. That together, that's the fourth one. With one voice, that's the fifth one. All those talking about unity in one single little verse. He's driving home a point, isn't he? He's making a point. As a parent, I didn't appreciate having to tell my children more than one time to do something or not to do something. But guess what? As parents, we have to do that time and time again. God, who is our Heavenly Father, evidently needs to remind you and I to do something again and again and again and again and again until we get it, until we understand it. And we find that in the Scripture when it comes to this gospel-driven unity. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy," now listen here, he says this, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Count others more significant than yourselves. Can you do that? Whoa. I read these verses, and I don't know about you, but this is hitting home. This is tough. This is not only tough, but I'll keep going on here. This is impossible. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, and let us consider, just talking about the church again, how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wow. We're called again to meet together. We're to stir one another up to love and to good works. We need one another. We're not to neglect meeting together. And it says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are to remind ourselves of the future promises that we have in Christ, the future promises that we have in Christ in order to live faithfully in the present. As you see the day drawing near, what's that? The day of what? The day of the Lord. The day of His return. The day when our great King comes back to rule and reign and to bring this ugly judgment on those that don't know Him, but a preciousness to those that do know Him. Ephesians 4, 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are we able to bear with one another? Again, that means more than just putting up with one another. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard this one. Have you heard this one? I love him in Christ. You know, I really love him in Christ, but I just can't stand the guy. Have you heard that one? I've heard it. I have. You know, I love him, but I just don't like him at all. I've heard that dozens and dozens of times. You're not getting it if that's really what you believe. Jesus never looked on anyone and said, you know what? I love you, but I really don't. You can't say you love God and what? Dislike your brother or dislike your sister. It says you can't, which means it's an impossibility. It doesn't work. We are to be eager, striving, doing whatever it takes to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. Eager, ready, able, wanting to. And I don't know about you, but we like to what? We like to hang on to our grudges, don't we?
We like to, you know, hold that over our the people we are arguing with or fighting against or have issues with, don't we? We don't like to go over to someone and say, you know what, I'm so sorry. Is Katie here? Good, all right. All right. Hey, again, between you and I, me and Kate always don't get along. Does every married couple always get along in this? Always get along? Have you ever had an argument? Drew's never had an argument. Sarah, you're too new. You're too new. I thought you said you were in tears all week because he's treating me. No. But I have to admit, we had one of those moments this weekend where we were just like this. And man, I mean, to the point where Katie's watching our baby Marin over in Hudson, where Drew and Dana live. To the point, I'm one of these guys that I got to get this resolved. If you guys know me, I'm not going, I got to get it done. I got to get this right. To the point where I drove over to babysit with Marin. I show up. And you can't argue in front of a little baby like that, you know. So, I mean, we made up. There's a beautiful thing about making up, isn't it? It really is. It's precious. It's absolutely precious. But the bottom line is, we need to be eager to do so. We need to want to do so. We need to love to do so. Amen? This is serious. And yet, before any of us get too excited about hearing these commands and understanding this encouragement, before any of us get too excited about taking the hill for Jesus and this constant call to obey and do this, we need to be reminded that above the encouragement and commands, that these encouragement commands are impossible, I should say, to maintain outside of Jesus Christ and His Spirit working in us. You hear that? It's an impossibility. It's just not going to work. I look at these and I said, man, never have a division, it says here. Strive to not have any divisions. Be unified. But here's where it gets really fun. This is our next point. And I'm going to save it for next week. I'm going to pray. We're going to close this day. Blessed Father God, I pray you would bring us all back next week. That we would discover as a family of God what it means to be a family of God. That we would discover as the body of Christ what it means to be the body of Christ. Lord, that we would understand how the gospel and biblical unity fit like a glove. And it just doesn't work if they're not fit together. So, Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work here in this church, that you'd continually surprise us, challenge us, convict us, fill us, but do so, Lord, all through the working of your Holy Spirit and your word and your truth in our lives. Lord, again, just bless this time now. Bless the celebration at the Brookses as well. We pray these things in Jesus Christ. Amen.